Hey, welcome to this week's episode of Extra Serving. I'm your host, Holly Petrie, here with the latest episode from Nation's Restaurant News. This week, Brett Thorne has Ned Lyerly, the CEO of CKE Restaurants, on the pod. That is the parent company of Carl's Jr. and Hardee's, to talk about menu innovation across the brand in his two-year tenure, which has been a wild 2 years, to say the least. They talk about a new role that the company introduced, and also how the company decides what locations are going to go where internationally. Is it going to be a Carl's Jr.? Is it going to be a Hardee's? And it's a really interesting conversation with Ned. But before I turn it over to Brett, I do want to mention that our Top 500 report is live online. So please go and check that out. You can find it at nrn.com/2021 Top 500, all one line. We did also release this week two more episodes of our Snapshots of Success. That is Eggs Up Grill with CEO Ricky Richardson and the co-founders of Clean Juice, which came out this morning. So please be sure to tune into those. They are really interesting conversations with two brands that succeeded when a lot of others didn't. So they are our Snapshots of Success, and we still have a few more of them coming out. So stay tuned on Tuesdays and Fridays until we go through the ones that we've done so far. But this is also going to be an ongoing series throughout the year. So definitely be sure to stay tuned. We're going to keep churning these out with the brands that turned a profit in 2020 or grew units. There's a lot to dig into over the year of chaos 2020 was, but with this data, we're really able to see the trends and who did well, and we are going to keep you updated on that through podcasts, through videos, through great informational pieces on our site. So please, please stay tuned. And now that I've gone on and on about everything we have going on, I'm going to turn it over to Brett and Ned. Hope you enjoy.
Ned, you've been CEO for a little over 2 years now, right?
That's correct.
It's been a long 2 years.
You know, it's been a fantastic 2 years. It's presented a lot of challenge, you know, for the country, for the world, you know, for our industry. But, you know, our particular industry, QSR, has been, you know, well positioned to, you know, serve guests and even thrive, you know, during this really challenging environment over the past year. So I've been honored to serve in this role for 2 years. I've gained a lot of experience and are looking forward to the future.
So let's first look at the past year and what you guys did. How did you get through it? What changes did you have to implement? Obviously, your restaurants were closed, especially Carl's Jr., which has a big presence in the Southwest.
Yeah. Well, I think that certainly early days of the pandemic, you know, were challenging for everyone. We weren't exactly sure what consumer behavior was going to be, what the franchise environment was going to be. And so we really focused on health and safety of our guests, providing great products and services, keeping our restaurants open and providing, you know, support, leadership and guidance to our franchisees. And fortunately, in QSR, after a few weeks, things started to normalize, or at least, you know, come back, and people still needed to eat out of home. And, you know, QSR in particular was well positioned, you know, for this situation. And so were our brands. And so we were really able to keep our restaurants open, the vast majority, 99% of our restaurants open the entire time inside the U.S. Outside the U.S., it was a bit more of a challenge as, you know, some countries, you know, had complete lockdown situations. So probably we saw more of a challenging impact outside the U.S. But inside the U.S., after 4 to 6 weeks, sales rebounded, and we've been on a really dynamic growth curve ever since then. We've had 13 consecutive periods of same-store sales, 4 quarters of sequential sales growth, and you know, we really focused in on what consumers were looking for from our brands, which are really core familiarity with iconic products like our Western Bacon Cheeseburger. We put some value offers out there to, you know, get some traffic back, and then really focused on what we're best at, which is innovation, premium innovation. Late in the year, we introduced a product called the Prime Rib and Cheddar Angus Thick Burger. And while consumers couldn't really go to a sit-down restaurant for a premium quality product, they were able to come to Carl's Jr. and Hardee's and satisfy those needs.
And so with or without the addition of those premium items, were your customers spending more?
Yeah, I think the interesting dynamic in our business, as our sales were really strong, as I mentioned, for four consecutive quarters in a row. And what we saw is that average check built in our system, and that's really where most of the growth was from. And so consumers were spending more, and then there were more consumers per transaction because our business shifted. We're typically about 80% off-premise when you think about delivery, drive-through, takeaway, and curbside, and really off-premise grew to about 93% of our business. And so, as off-premise grew, as there were limited options for restaurant companies to provide services to guests, the number of guests per transaction or the number of items that were being bought per transaction went way up because it was more multi-party checks. And so we saw that, and it lasted pretty much through the this past quarter, or through the pandemic rollover quarter, and now what we've seen is kind of a stabilization back to some traffic growth, and check is still up a bit, so it's a really nice balance now. But last year, it was all driven by check and higher tickets.
Oh, and you guys offered bundled meals and stuff too, right?
Yeah, we put out family bundles early days, and certainly that was effective and met a key consumer need. We're always focused on providing value to our guests through quality, great tasting products are really what we stand for, but also at the price and convenience that where they feel like and can see the real value in the business.
So you have two brands, obviously, of Carl's Jr. and Hardee's. Carl's Jr. mostly in the West, Hardee's in the Midwest and the Southeast. And consumer attitudes seem to be different in those markets. Is that something that you experienced? Was there different consumer behavior between the two different brands?
Well, I think we have two different brands, and as part of how we operate this company, we focus on the unique differences and equities of those brands, and then where it's important, where it's possible, we connect the brands to have national scale and big impact across the country. So there's a lot of similarities in what people want when it comes to a premium quality, delicious, flavorful burger or hand-breaded tenders and that sort of thing. So we're able to carry these great products across both of the brands. In terms of behavior, through this past year, I think there were stricter lockdowns in areas, metro areas like LA. And so, we saw certainly, different behavior there. But what we did see was a shift, particularly in the South and in the West, was a shift from sort of metro, urban, daytime, working population consumption in our metro restaurants, which pushed out into the suburbs. And so we really saw, big sales increases, outside of metro areas a bit more challenged. And then when you cascaded that into the Southeast and the Midwest, there's a bit of that dynamic going on, but our restaurants are typically, not located in big metro areas in the Hardee's network. And so, we saw big sales growth in the Midwest, the Southeast also fared well. The breakfast traffic, Hardee's breakfast is about 48% of sales, which is unusual in our category, they're made from scratch biscuits. And so, the breakfast business, I think, was a bit slower to respond. People's traffic patterns, not going to school, not going to work, changed early days. But that was offset again by lunch, dinner, and some dining traffic. So we see, while the demography is different, and while people's behavior and the things that they do when they're not eating in a QSR restaurant are different, people's desire for premium quality, great tasting products, there is some similarity, coast to coast.
I think it was before the pandemic that you started putting burgers on biscuits at Hardee's?
We've done a number of things, in the breakfast space. And I think we've had, it is our 80th anniversary this year at Carl's Jr. and so for CKE. And I think through that 80-year history, we've been known as innovators and trailblazers from taste and flavors and innovation. And so Carl's Jr. was the first brand ever to introduce a breakfast burger in QSR, and so we did that. And then one of our innovations is a burger on a biscuit, and you know, we've had that in test quite some time, and are always innovating with different you know, tastes and flavors. The other thing we're really known for is meat on meat. And so, you know, we'll do that at breakfast. We'll do that at lunch. And, you know, we've been innovators in that space as well with a Memphis barbecue burger. Historically, that was boneless baby back ribs on a burger, pastrami on a burger. And then, as I mentioned this past year, our prime rib and cheddar Angus thick burger was a big hit.
And this year, you've had a few new items. At Carl's Jr., at the beginning of the year, you had the BLT Ranch Double Cheeseburger. Yes. You had a new habanero ranch sauce, is that right?
Yes.
And you did a promotion with Godzilla versus Kong.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's one of the exciting things about the dynamic growth in our business is we just opened our 1,000th international location in Madrid, Spain. And really, when we're at that scale now that we can partner with you know, big properties globally. And so the Godzilla versus Kong promotion was a tie-in with Warner Brothers outside the United States, across the 40 countries that we operate in there. And we really innovated and created unique products, the Godzilla burger versus the Kong burger. And it was just a fantastic promotion. We've had tie-ins with Warner Brothers for a couple of years and have found that to be super effective. The other thing that really I'm excited about is I think we really leaned into, you know, again, culinary innovation, culinary on core at times. So our Western bacon cheeseburger was always an iconic product at Carl's Jr. And we brought that into the Hardee system. We rolled out a spicy version of that through the pandemic. We also had a spicy Beyond bacon cheeseburger. So always focused on innovation. And then recently, we upgraded our chicken platform across all day parts and launched within the past 5-6 weeks hand-breaded chicken products all day. So we have a hand-breaded chicken biscuit, hand-breaded chicken waffle sandwich, and then a hand-breaded chicken fillet that we think is industry-leading, and certainly the craze around the chicken category. We're participating in that, doing it in our own unique way because we've been hand-breading chicken and hand-making biscuits from scratch and making our products to order throughout our whole history. So we think we're uniquely qualified for this.
So what is different about the new chicken products, which I was about to ask you about? I mean, you got a chicken and waffle sandwich, which is fun and relatively unique for QSR. Okay. So that gives you a point of distinction. Did you upgrade the chicken, or what's different about the new chicken product?
Yeah, well, our new chicken was a homemade recipe that really initiated from one of our franchisee, Body Knoll Enterprises, the largest franchisee within the Hardee system. They have some culinary capabilities. They developed this unique taste and marinade that goes with our hand-breaded chicken fillet, so that adds a lot of flavor profile. The fillet itself is like 3.5 ounces, so it's a big fillet in the business. It's hand-breaded. And then we hand-bread it all day, so it's the same fillet all day. So for breakfast, we kind of upsized the fillet on a biscuit, so it's a massive hand-breaded chicken biscuit in the morning. You know, we really came out with a chicken and waffle sandwich because, you know, we wanted to have a unique you know, angle to the chicken craze. And so it's got a you know, maple syrup that's in the waffle itself and built on the sandwich. So it's fantastic. Really kind of surprised us all. I think the waffle sandwich sells in the morning, it sells throughout the day, and so that's unique. And then again, just the freshness and you know, the hand breading and us doing that across the full day part, you know, has us standing out. And like a lot of our products, we really shoot for having best in class products from quality ingredients and flavor profile. So I think our chicken sandwich and chicken sandwich line is in that same vein category.
Can you tell us any more about what's in that unique marinade that you guys have for your chicken, or is it secret?
Well, I mean, I don't even know the detail of it, but it's a lot of it's a lot of you know, vegetable juices and other things that are in there that really just you know, add value to it. So some natural you know, vegetable marinades.
Well, that's cool. Brings a lot of sort of vegetable-y flavors.
Yeah.
And you guys just announced a big hire. You have a new global chief development officer.
Yes, we do.
Matthew Wall. So this is a good time to ask about what your development plans are going forward. Why did you, it's a new position, right?
It is a new position.
Chief Global Development Officer.
Global Development Officer. We're thrilled to have Matthew Walls joining our company. He's been a quite a bit of time at Domino's, leading a global center of development excellence and enjoying tremendous growth there. Really, our company, through emerging from the pandemic, really seized the opportunity to go on the offensive instead of playing defense, and it really focused on accelerating our growth. We're in the middle of a big growth transformation across our business, which includes new unit growth, asset refreshes, expansion into digital marketing channels and loyalty. So this move is part of a whole business transformation that we're calling North Star. And as it relates to setting up this global center of excellence, I think over time our company has been a little bit siloed and had an international division and a domestic division, and really bringing in capabilities to build a center of excellence that can support growth inside and outside the U.S. As we look to our international market, again, we just opened our 1,000th international restaurant. We have been growing our international business at a double-digit compound annual growth rate, and we are enjoying about a 60% of our new restaurant growth is outside the U.S. So that's part of the global aspect of this center of excellence. And then we have a tremendous amount of runway domestically as well. And so, you know, our plans are to double our international business, to keep growing domestically, and you know, we have a strong growth profile. And we're in the middle of this, again, dynamic transformation that is really exciting. Everybody's motivated. And, you know, our franchisee base is really critical to that, because we are a franchise-focused, franchise-centric company. And Matthew Walls, you know, really brings that experience in, you know, from his background. So super excited to have him on board. Also, you know, the rest of our team members internationally and domestic also have tremendous capability. So it's bringing this all together to support our growth agenda.
So this development center, that's going to be in Franklin, Tennessee, your headquarters?
Yeah, it'll be based in Franklin, Tennessee, but in the new normal, I mean, we have, you know, resources and capabilities, you know, everywhere. So, you know, it's really bolstering our capabilities from a sales and business development capability, adding additional sales capability, building more global design capabilities, and bringing our international and domestic businesses together so that best practices are just easily shared. Outside the United States, you know, having built a lot of new restaurants the past few years, going into new market, there's a lot of great innovation, beautiful look and feel of our restaurants outside the U.S. that we can bring in and learn from domestically. And then, you know, really our domestic team does have a tremendous amount of capability, both in the real estate vertical, construction, design. And so it's bringing that together. And then with that, though, it's also working with, you know, very capable, you know, third-party providers. So, you know, design and construction agencies. We have an agency out of Madrid, Spain, working with a big company here in the United States to help us with new asset design and growth. And, you know, with the new way of the new normal, if we want to call it that, sorry to use an overused word there, but with the new normal, I think people are interacting with our brands in many different ways. So we want to provide a restaurant and guest experience where they can, you know, get the products they want, where they want, when they want, and how they want. And so innovation around omni-channel restaurant designs that, you know, obviously a lot of people in QSR are focused on, and we're focused on that as well. So this is a big important move for us, and we've got a growth orientation across every aspect of our business, but new restaurant growth and our asset base is really critical for us to deliver value to our franchisees, to our stakeholders, and continue to be a big strong brand operating in this competitive QSR environment. So,
and how many domestic restaurants do you guys have now? It's more than 3,000, right?
Yeah, we're roughly at 3,000. We're just short of 3,000 on the domestic footprint, and then over 1,000 international. So we're approaching 4,000 restaurants, worldwide. Again, our intent is to double our international presence in the next 5 years to 2,000 restaurants, and we see strong, solid growth both in terms of the Carl's Jr. and Hardee's footprints. The interesting thing is, we're 80 years old, but we're still growing. The Carl's Jr. business this past year and Hardee's both set records for same-store sales growth, which I think the category in general performed quite well. But Carl's Jr. in particular has achieved the highest level of average unit volume sales in its history. So that kind of sales performance, some margin expansion, our growth agenda with revenue and value generators across all things, menu, digital, new unit growth, really adds up to an exciting story for our business.
So what are the average unit volumes of Carl's Jr. now?
Carl's Jr. volume is around 1.5 million. So it's really solid AUV. Our growth agenda is really focused on, taking that up even higher. So, we have big ambitions tied into our transformation agenda. We've been in this transformation mode now for a bit over a year, and the initiatives that we planned last year are coming to fruition. One big driver of future revenue, which hasn't even been built into our system yet, is our online ordering, our app, and our loyalty program, which are all in process of being launched into the summer, fall, and the end of this year. So we'll see that from Carl's Jr. and Hardee's, and so those will be big value layers in our business. Also, menu innovation continues to be a key part of driving revenue and performance. We reinvigorated our Angus line of burgers this past year. So third pound Angus line of burgers, hand breaded chicken, made from scratch biscuits, and really just focusing on these big menu pillars in addition to kind of our core classic burger line. So that innovation, digital innovation, and then new assets and growth are adding up to a dynamic environment here at CK.
Awesome. So what are some of the learnings that you're getting from overseas operators? Some countries are more advanced in terms of digital ordering. Some have different design things. Some have different culinary stuff. So what are you getting from overseas?
Yeah. I think I'll start back to kind of when I first got involved in the Carl's Jr. business internationally. I'd been involved on the Hardee side of the business for a while, had some experience internationally supporting our business in the Middle East. But some of the first times I went to Mexico, and in Mexico now we have over 300 restaurants, and our franchisees there had taken a positioning a step where they were matching the premium quality of our burgers with the premium aspect of our service system, which is table service, bringing food to the guests, treating them with higher levels of hospitality, and building facilities that provided an elevated guest experience. So instead of being low cost fiberglass seating that you might have seen in legacy QSR, really elevating the facility and the in restaurant experience and really the restaurant look and feel overall. So what I learned from our Mexico franchisees there was, let's match our premium food, premium service with premium nicer facilities, and that adds up to a value equation that is unique to us and not replicated with our competitors. And so in doing that, we're able to actually do that without it really driving up the cost materially, because it's just a different style of decor and seating and creating that environment. So I think that's from kind of a strategy and philosophy and a positioning perspective, then we learned that from our international side of the business. The other aspects of our international business, really in the delivery and digital space, I think those services, those needs were, realized earlier in the international environment. Like, for example, in the Middle East, some of our markets in the Middle East, 60% of their sales are through delivery. So, you know, we picked up some of the operating procedures there, marketing angles, and brought that in and learned from that. And then we've always been innovators. So, you know, I think innovating across properties like Godzilla and Kong and making sure we bring that in. So, you know, we're looking at, you know, following that lead here in the U.S. And then the other thing that's interesting is not necessarily what we bring into the U.S. from our international business, but just the iconic nature of Carl's Jr. And it's kind of it's from a gateway city. It's from California, you know, California premium burgers. That lifestyle, that connectivity is something that we're able to take from the U.S. and amplify overseas. We kind of elevate that in our imagery and our decor in terms of how we position the brand. And so that has a lot of value outside the U.S. Everybody can aspire to, you know, enjoy sunshine, beach, and, you know, California lifestyle. So that kind of threads through, you know, our business, and certainly originated from, you know, Carl and establishing the brand in California, you know, over 80 years ago.
So how do you guys decide whether you're going to open a Carl's Jr. or a Hardee's in a given location?
Well, I think in the U.S., it's pretty much a geographic split. So, you know, Western states are focused on Carl's Jr., you know, East, Southeast, Midwest is Hardee's. Outside the U.S., we have a Hardee's business in the Middle East that's been there for several decades. So, you know, we're continuing to build in the Middle East and adjacent markets to the Middle East Hardee's just because of the depth of understanding and brand awareness there. And then outside of the Middle East and international markets, breakfast or made from scratch biscuits don't necessarily travel as well as they do here in the U.S. And so we decided to move forward with the Carl's Jr. brand and new markets outside of that Middle East business, primarily because of the aspirational connections to the brand, the heritage, and the legacy and history and capability and ownership that we have in the premium burger category, you know, with Carl's Jr. So that's how we look at that, you know, outside the U.S.
So over the past, let's say 15 years or so, CKE has changed its approach to Carl's Jr. and Hardee's a few times. Sometimes you try to merge them together. Sometimes you try to let them express their own distinctiveness. It seems that your move is to kind of let Carl's Jr. be Carl's Jr. and let Hardee's be Hardee and kind of amplify each of their unique qualities. Is that accurate?
It is accurate with a qualifier, and you know, thanks for that question, because it's one of the really unique challenges of this company is having these two brands and how to make sure that we stay true to their core and their heritage and to the consumer base that's been familiar with these brands for decades, and then also how we, you know, connect them in a way that you know, makes them bigger than the individual brands. And so when I came on as CEO, we did a couple of things. One is we celebrated and focused on the unique equities within each brand, but also looked at how to bring the brands together in a way that allows us to be big nationally, to, you know, have these you know, big partnerships that we could have with Warner Brothers and others. So it's important, while, you know, the brands are unique and we leverage those, that we connect them. And so we've connected them through national media. So our marketing calendar is a hybrid marketing calendar where we have four or five national media pillars a year that are connected by the brands, and we use that platform for more efficiency to get in better programming that's targeted at our, you know, key target audiences that you know, skew heavier to QSR. And then we also connect the brands, you know, for scale. And, you know, when we innovate a fantastic new product like the prime rib and cheddar Angus burger, then, you know, it really has, you know, resonance across brands. The other thing that we do is making sure, particularly on the Hardee side of the business, that we're promoting breakfast. And so a lot of our product innovations are kind of cross day part, to where there'll be a prime rib and fried egg biscuit that's paired with the prime rib, you know, Angus and cheddar, you know, thick burger. So we do that. So I think we're working on the right way to leverage the equities of the business, but also connecting them so we can be a big QSR company that can punch above its weight be successful nationally and globally in the QSR space.
Did Hardee's and Carl's Jr., or Hardee's in particular, were they able to sort of get their customers to have breakfast items at different times of day? Was that on the agenda at Hardee's?
It has been explored, and we have had tests to where we expanded breakfast outside of normal breakfast hours, and our breakfast in some markets starts as early as 5 a.m., 6 a.m., typically stops around 10:30 or 11. We've had tests in several markets where we pull breakfast into the lunch day part during the week and on the weekends. And so those have been successful, but we haven't really sprung forward into an all-day breakfast offering, really because our products are made from scratch at the moment, every day, and fresh baked. And so as they're made from scratch and fresh baked, it's just hard to keep that volume up throughout the day. So whereas competitors may have frozen biscuits that are just heated and offered there, it's just difficult for us to do that at the quality level that we want. But, you know, we'll continue to explore that. We'll all look at innovations on that platform. And, you know, there might be a breakfast all day concept that we ideate and come out with one day before too long.
Oh, I'm looking forward to hearing about that. Now, it would be rude of me not to ask you about Carl's Jr.'s 80th anniversary, which you're celebrating this year. What are you guys doing to celebrate it?
You know, well, first of all, you know, Carl Carter himself was a dreamer. He was a larger-than-life figure in the quick-service restaurant industry. He was a big man with a big smile and just innovated all the time. He wrote a book, or he wrote several books, but one of his books was Never Stop Dreaming and Never Lose Faith. So Carl's dream is still alive today. We continue to innovate and honor his legacy. Within Carl's Jr., still he has children and family members that are franchisees in the business. So Carl is alive today and his family in the business. Also, just his approach to how he treated people was very familial, whether it's guests, employees, or franchisees. And so that aspect of Carl is still alive today. And so we couldn't be happier. On July 17th, we have a big celebration planned in Anaheim, California. There's some secret menu items that are going to be offered there that I've been told I can't reveal at this point. But also outside of that, we're going to offer some 80-cent classic burgers on that day, July 17th. And it's just a big year for Carl's Jr. It's a big year for all of our franchisees. I think the familial aspect of this business is that, you know, franchisees and employees have had such tenure and history in this brand that it's been their lives. They're proud of it. And we're going to celebrate, and then we're going to focus on what our dream is for the next 80 years as we continue with our growth transformation.
Great. Why July 17th? Is that when the first Carl's Jr. was founded, or is it just a day you guys like?
No, it was the date of the first Carl's Jr. restaurant. So, yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Great. Well, Ned Lyerly, thank you so much for taking the time to visit with me and tell me what you guys are up to.
Brett, you know, it was a real honor. I know you do a lot of great work in this space, and, you know, we really appreciate you. Thank you for, you know, hosting time with me. And in closing, I'd just like to say at CKE, we're here to feed happiness. And so that's our goal, and that's what we're trying to do every day with guests, stakeholders, franchisees, and owners. So thanks a lot. We'll see you around. Come back sometime soon, and we'll talk about some other innovations.
That sounds great.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Extra Serving. It was recorded by Brett Thorne, and it was produced by me, Holly Petrie. We will be back on Tuesday with a brand new snapshot of success. And then we will see you again on Friday with yet another snapshot of success and our regularly scheduled podcast. Until then, have a great weekend.